kidding. Yeah.
Ooh, hi, Sue.
807. Hey, Sarah. Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I got a little bit of the sniffles today, but look what I have. I have my handy bandana hanky when I was staying at Susie's house. I kept on having the sniffles because it was like allergies were going off. And she just like pull out her handkerchief and be like, here you go, Sarah. Here you go, Sarah. And then she'd like find them in random places throughout her house because I can't keep my shit together.
Yeah, I'm like very old timey in the way that I'm a handkerchief kind of person. And I bought like a bulk pack of bandanas a few years ago. And I just always have one in my bag. And it's good for the planet.
It's some people it's really find smart. It
like kind of gross, but I wash them every day.
Yeah, I don't think it's how is that any grosser than if I have a tissue that I blow my nose into and then I just shove that back into my purse.
I suppose they just reuse or they just get a new Kleenex or tissue every time, but that is bad for the earth, people.
Yeah, and I'm the kind of person who doesn't use paper towels and only uses like dish towels.
Really? Do you not have any at your house? Paper towels? Like you don't have a roll on the counter?
No.
Yeah, I've always been intrigued by these people.
Yeah.
That's been the one thing that I'm like, how do they do that?
Sometimes I do have one in the cupboard for a paper towel only emergency.
And there are those.
There are those. This is like grease, anything grease is involved in.
Yeah.
Seems like
if it's like really disgusting.
And then you can just throw it in the compost. So that's good.
Well, I'm glad that you're a bandana user now. That's encouraging.
So you've converted me. I'm a bandana user. Before I dive into brainy stuff that we'll talk about today, I do have some just like fun life updates and things like that have happened that I wanted to share I've just been like out and about and you know how I am when I'm out and about, shenanigans.
Things happen.
Like it's no stories if I'm staying at home, like last 9 weeks of my life on my couch, and all I've told you about was This Takes Two or It Takes Two video game, which by the way, multiple people wrote in and said they got the game and it lived up to all expectations. Wow. It was so much fun and they want to know more.
This is shocking.
Sorry, I don't have any more. That's the best one. So first thing.
Yeah.
Maybe you saw this on my Instagram. I went to go see Dimitri Martin.
Yes.
Okay. Dimitri Martin. Great. Wonderful. I love his comedy. I bought the ticket. I'm a big fan. I was going by myself and I'm a big fan of buying tickets day of because you can get great seats for you have to pay some of the fees, whatevs, but you get like the person who couldn't go because they got sick or like didn't get a babysitter for the night. Totally. So they can't make it. So I got fourth row Dimitri Martin $52, which is cheaper than the ticket price, the face price of the tickets even more. I think they were like 160 or something like that to start with. I have no idea where, like, you know, they tell you about where the seats are, but I don't know exactly where it's going to be or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I arrive and I learn as soon as I get there that it is it's a taping for his new Netflix special.
Which is weird because he just had one come out like 2 weeks ago.
So he explained this to us that he's doing a it's part of a series of three and everyone connects to the last one.
Okay.
Which I didn't know that either. And
how
would you? And it did say, I did look back on the ticket and the ticket said like special taping event. And I didn't know what that, I don't know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Just like they tape it. I don't know. I ended up getting my seat was the seat next to the camera.
It's awful.
Which some people might be like, wow, that's so cool. When you spent 11 years.
We've done enough of that.
With a camera on your face. The last place I want to be, especially like when I'm like there hanging out laughing. You know, now you know what happens when a camera is right there. Now I feel like.
You're performing.
I'm performing.
Sarah's
I got a laugh at the joke.
Yeah.
And I know that these cameras aren't even pointed at me. I fully know this.
Yeah.
But then what happened throughout the night was It was being on a film set, Susie.
I know.
It was. Have you ever been to a live taping?
Mm-mm, I've heard about them.
Don't go.
No, it's not fun.
I didn't know.
It's work.
I paid, thank God, a good fee, but a reduced fee to work. Mm-hmm. I was four hours.
I mean, did anyone leave? I would have left.
There was one person who got drunk and had to leave. They were like, had to leave. Multiple jokes had to be reset because of a heckler in the audience.
Wow.
Like
that person should death penalty because
death penalty. Straight
everyone hates them with all their heart.
Like we were like, shut up. And oh they had God. To reset so many times. And then he had to do the same jokes from when you watch it on Netflix, it just appears as at like,
yeah,
it flows.
Streamline.
You don't see the cut. Mm-hmm. Streamline. Thank you. But this was
nightmare.
Okay, did we get that? Is that? And he's like talking.
For Pete's sake, he says that?
Yes! Yes, Susie. And I was trying to not be like a cranky baby and like bratty about it when I left and then complained about it on my Instagram. But I was just like, oh my God. And the show was supposed to go from 8 to 10. We did not get inside the building until 9:50 something.
Absolutely not.
I was so close to walking.
I would have ate that $52 or whatever you said.
I can't believe I did it.
There's nothing funny about that.
Nothing.
There's nothing funny about staying up past my bedtime.
It was, by the end of it, they were doing. So he does his whole set, and then they say, "Okay, everybody, hold, because we're going to do crowd reaction shots. Kill me now."
Your mouth.
You know when you can feel a camera on you?
Yeah. I've heard of it.
Susie. This is the feeling I had and I'm going in there. I was like looking real cute that night. I had like my big hair out.
Oh,
and
I've seen that too.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so that's like,
it's a real crowd pleaser.
It is a crowd pleaser, mm-hmm. But also maybe where the camera is going to go. And I was like, don't look, don't look, don't look. And then I was like yawning.
This reminds me of the eclipse. She looked. Narrator, she looked. Yes.
So that was an experience.
Ugh, and 0 out of 10.
I will say, I was like, don't be complainy. Because this is a fun experience, and I bet some people would be like really into this.
It's not a fun experience.
No, it was terrible, and I hated everything.
You should be paid like as an extra.
Yeah, that's what I felt like. I was like,
Can you imagine charging to make people sit there for 4 hours?
4 hours.
While you reset your dumbass. I hate him now. I used to like
hours. I know. And I made the mistake of going to the second show. So what what happened was they did the first show that they probably
It was probably started at noon, that one.
Yeah. And then to make matters worse, mm-mm. Standing in front mm-mm. of me in line.
Oh, no.
Was the guy who has worked one time on a film set in something, but was like, oh, I guess we're doing that sit around and wait thing. Oh, this is what they're probably doing. And then was like running through the details of what I was like, oh.
I know this guy.
You know this guy.
I would have loved to have been in that line with you, though. That would have been fun.
I would have been like, meanwhile, I'm sitting there with two parents who are both in the film industry, grew up in, like this was my whole life.
I would have been like, have you ever seen The Real World? Have you ever heard of MTV's The Real World?
Say that. Like, you know, I've got like over an entire year of me being on, over a year of me being on camera. Like when you add it all up.
It's a lot of cameras.
So that was my experience.
I'm so sorry.
My Dimitri Martin comedy.
Brutal.
Yeah.
He's a very smart fellow.
Yeah, he is. But it was like seeing behind the when you see the same joke.
Yeah, do you like him less?
Yeah, I kind of do.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because it was like watching a magician tell you how he does his tricks.
Ew.
I was like, stop talking, don't do that again.
Yeah.
Not with the same tone and the same you know,
that is so sad,
because you hope that it's almost like conversational in a way. You don't think it's word for word memorized. But yeah. It was. And then I think he got so hung up. He was a little anxious and he got hung up on his own words. And so he was like, I'm sorry. Let me do that one again.
That is like a boner killer. Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
He's one of those people that wants everyone to know how smart he is.
Yeah.
And cerebral and, yeah. But he is.
Right.
But now I'm annoyed.
Yeah.
He's on my bad list.
I was annoyed at them. So that was one story that I had to tell you about. Other story that I wanted to share with you guys. You know, I talk so much on This Changes Everything and just like in my work as a therapist about like trying new things and doing things that you've always mm-hmm. wanted to do that maybe seem hard. So I went to a cardio hip hop dance class.
Oh God. Okay.
Susie.
Yeah.
I have never felt like a worse dancer.
Wait, were you the only white person?
No. I was not, which makes it worse because like if I were, then I could hang my hat on that. Like I'm like, oh, I'm just the white person. It's worse when it's like other people. And it's one of those where they do the same moves, you know, for like a month or whatever.
Like the Roger Rabbit? Are they still doing
kinda,
that?
Kind of. Maybe. I don't fucking know. The nene. And so, so.
I don't know what that is, but it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like this.
Oh, that's the nene?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, at least if according to this white girl.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Everybody else is like knowing the moves and there. I think there was like one other woman who was, it was her first time, but she must have a dancing background because these hips do not move like that. And I consider myself in the top 25%.
I know I've heard you brag about this.
Dancers.
Ability.
You know, and I feel like it. I've seen myself. Yeah,
I love this. I love it.
Okay, let's look at. We're gonna say
she's defensive. I've never even seen her dance.
What percentage
I don't know.
Of the population do you think can dance?
I'm scared to talk right now. Like I don't, because I don't have any idea if you're good or bad. I'm just laughing at this story.
Right. Well, you know, I'm
don't
just trying
be
to like
defensive. I'm sure you're great.
I'm not like an amazing dancer, but I'd like to say maybe top 50%, you know?
Yeah, well, better than say average.
Like
I get it.
10% of the population can't clap on beat.
Yep.
Okay. So better than, you know.
Yeah,
so
like
I'm
you
not
have moves.
Terrible. I got some moves.
Okay.
Not in that class. That was awful. And
how do you know, though?
Because
I'm
looking around, because I have eyeballs, and everybody's doing one thing, and I'm not even moving in the right direction. And then it was like, so, but I said to myself, sucking at something is the first part of being good at something.
She has been reduced to inspirational quotes.
I'm not fucking kidding.
That is like an inspirational thing.
I saw like a song I saw on Instagram or something that was like, yeah.
Wait. Yeah, because I saw, on your Insta story when you're like, the first step to 1,000 miles or
right.
whatever.
One step.
Okay, this is a cry for help at this point. This is your second inspirational quote.
I know. I think you're right. I'm like, you know what it is? I got to be my own hype woman. I got to just be like,
the thing
okay.
is,
let's
these
do
quotes
it.
Are all
journey
true.
Of 1,000 miles. One step. Let's fucking step today. Not in that direction, Sarah. Okay.
I get it, though, because the quotes are true.
Right.
And it is a good reminder.
Oh, I was just so
did
bad.
You regret going?
No. And I'm going to go back again. I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to, you know, make sure I get a it was really... Susie, there was a moment where there was one woman who was behind me. And she recognized that I didn't know where the fuck I was going, so she moved to the other side of the room.
Oh, no. She knew she couldn't count on you.
Yeah, she's like, she's fucking me up. I gotta move.
I'll tell you what I can count on, and I am dead serious about this because I am literally doing it as we speak, and that is Naked Wines.
Cheers!
Cheers! Woo! I mean, I'm actually about to place another order because I need some white.
Yeah, probably because I drank a bunch when I was at your house.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's
not
why.
Not like a bunch, like, just like regular.
Go? Well, and I've been cooking with it and stuff. And I mean, it is so fun because every time I get a Naked Wine delivery, it is a discovery because these are new winemakers that I've never heard of that are interesting. And I'm always like, okay, I'll see. And
you know how I love a stocking for Christmas?
Yeah.
And how it's like a surprise. Yes, that's what it feels like. It feels like a Christmas stocking, like all these different treats. And it's a surprise, but all ones that I like.
Yeah, because the worst surprises are when you open it and you're like, oh, delicious. But
they have quizzes that help you find the wine that works for you. And then the more you order, you'd be like, oh, I love this thing about this one. This one was my favorite. And then it keeps getting better. Yes.
Mm-hmm. They cut out the middleman, so you get them top quality stuff for a real deal. And I always say this is the best deal of any of our partners because this is like highway robbery. Head to nakedwines.com/braincandy and click enter voucher in the top right and put in brain candy for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off, less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/braincandy. Use the code and password brain candy. Grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. One last time, that's nakedwines.com/braincandy. Code and password brain candy for $100 off. Your first 6 bottles. Give it a try.
Yeah.
Like, at minimum, you're getting, like...
It's such a good deal.
Bargain basement prices.
My aunt... I told you, but she called me and was like, what's the deal?
What's the catch? Yeah.
And I'm like, yep, try it. Here you go.
It's true. It's so good. You will love it. You'll thank me.
Yes.
Okay.
So those are my 2 stories that I wanted to share with you.
Thank you.
Also, really, I'm so surprised. I put up this post it just last week. It was Coachella. Maybe they do 2 weekends. Might be this weekend too. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I put up this post where I was talking about the lineup from 2006.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fights broke out in the comment section.
Yeah. What's the fighting about?
A lot of like, this is just old people saying that the music isn't as good as it used to be. And then some people saying... Well, there still is tents and dancing and music. Like, nothing, it's still people there for those things. And then other people were saying, you just have to evolve with the times. And just because people have phones.
So they're basically mad at you.
Well, like, they don't like what
your commentary.
Some people do, some people don't. Well, then one person was like, said the thing about, like, this is just old people, like, saying it used to be better or whatever. And then a bunch of people were like, what? You can't tell me that it's not different than it used to be. And I'm trying to separate I want to have like a real...
Like the nostalgia.
Yeah. And I'm trying to separate the nostalgia and not do that thing where we're just saying like, oh, this was fun when I was there because of how I remember it.
Sure.
But if you just look at what... This is kind of like what we were talking about in the last episode where we were talking about the concert scene and the music scene changing.
Yeah, the music industry's changed. That's undeniable.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
Okay. That is what I want because you can't tell me. I mean, I saw hand-rolled sushi bar at Coachella. There wasn't fucking hand-rolled sushi bar when I was at... The tent camping was not glamping. It was like...
Well, and for some people, that may be an improvement. That it's like...
Right.
Now they have like luxury stuff and it's more of like a whole fun, like yummy, comfortable experience. Yours was more like... like almost like the Woodstock vibe of like, we're going to get down and dirty and just listen to some tunes.
Yes.
And for some people, that's better. And for some people, that's worse.
That's a really good way to put it. That is, and there was, because Instagram, because social media wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
There was not that scene of influencers.
Performing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and like the funny part about you is that you would wear the same thing for either.
Well, duh.
Overalls.
Yeah.
And like cute pigtails and stuff.
Yes, it's exactly what I would wear.
But for other people, it's like knowing that it will be published on social is like, ugh, you got to do the whole look.
Uh-huh.
The fit.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So like the social media came out, and then the people that maybe got the attention were the ones who were already kind of dressing like that a little bit. And then because of that attention, they got more people started just saying that this is how we dress to take all the social media pictures.
Yeah.
And that became like the festival brand.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a scene.
It's a fucking scene. Like yeah. when you go to the mall and there are signs up that say like festival looks, like that's like a section of the clothing.
Yeah. That, right.
We're not all going to festivals. Some of us just
I wouldn't want to go to
get
either
our groceries
version because either one cuz even in the luxury version I've heard it is brutal. We're like
I can imagine.
You know, you have to take a bus to
yes,
whatever.
Like
India
is way fucking out there. Like it's in yeah. the middle of nowhere.
I don't know why they love this. Is that the drugs must be
and
really
I don't even
special.
Do those. So that's
right.
like not even fun.
Yeah, we're not in that scene, I think.
Right.
But
it's fine.
I think you made some good points.
I do too. I think that I'm just trying to discuss maybe how things have changed.
Well, and it is also a fact that the allure of Coachella has changed so that the headliners aren't at the level that they used to be. That's just true too.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they suck. It yeah. just means they don't, they're not as famous.
Yeah. And now I'm seeing a bunch of posts up that are like, is Coachella cringe? Is Coachella like now I think it might be going the other direction
okay.
where now it's peaked. It's peaked. And now it's on its,
yeah.
You know, when I was at Coachella, I saw my second dead body. Yeah. First one was my grandpa when he passed away. I saw his body afterwards. That was like, but I can't say my first dead body because that would be a lie. And so my first dead body was my grandpa when he died. But my second one was Coachella.
What is the context?
Yeah. Okay. So
you're like, oh, glad you
wild.
Asked.
Glad you asked. It's night two. Night one. Walking back to our tent.
That'll be your third dead body. Sorry, go ahead.
Second dead body.
No, but I said, I'm dying.
Oh, you're going to be my third dead body. Stop. That was a great joke.
Go ahead. Oh, go ahead.
To beat your Martin wishes. Okay. we haven't even had any wine yet. And
I know.
This
I took
is already
like two sips.
Off the handles. Okay. So it's like night one. It's over. We're walking back to a tent and there is a young man just laying there and multiple people around him trying to wake him up. And people thought he was sleeping and he had been in the tent all day.
No.
So they knew he was dead because of the smell. And it started to, because it was so hot and he was like in a tent all day. And so
oh
I saw
God.
Them like transporting the body from the tent to the gurney and then wheeling it into the ambulance and it was a drug overdose.
That
and
is
that was
hideous.
When I decided I will never do drugs at a concert and take drugs from nope, never gonna do it. Take no taking drugs from strangers because I was like, that guy didn't know what he took and he's dead.
Oh my gosh. How does this not happen more though? That's what I don't get, because a lot of kids are wild.
I mean, I think it does.
I know it happens a fair amount, but the amount, like, you know how your brain's not completely full until
death and long-term consequences are two different things.
Oh.
I think that there's no way that you putting a bunch of holes in your brain, especially the ecstasy.
Why that especially shit. That? What's that about?
Because I see what it does. I mean, these are just like what I saw when I was in grad school and they showed us images of in like our drug studies classes.
Yeah.
Or like the brain of a monkey after it had a single hit of ecstasy and the loss of gray matter and like the changes.
After a single hit?
Oh, it's really scary. Yeah. It's like, no.
What is ecstasy? Is it some sort of powder? I don't even know.
Yeah, it's like MDMA. It could come in a powder form or a pill form.
These are what the neon
yeah.
dancing people.
Yeah. a lot of times that.
Why do they do that? How good can it be? It
depends on
in
what,
the name and everything.
It depends on what you think is good, because I've done it and it's not good for me. But it's the same things that I label as, holy fuck, I hate this. This feels terrible. Somebody else is like, ooh, that feels so good. I can't because it feels you get really hot and you get really sensitive. You can feel like everything in your body. You become like so sensitive and it feels good. But if your mind doesn't say it feels good and your mind is like, what's happening to me? This is terrible. Then it's not a fun experience.
Yeah, like, so you and I, we're already too sensitive and hot.
Yeah, I can't. Right.
I like right now, I'm just like, is it hot in here?
I can't do it. So, yeah, I've learned.
I can't believe you saw a dead body at Coachella.
Yeah.
And still are nostalgic for it.
Right. And I was like, those are the good old days. I'm going to post some pictures from when I went. And they were just like from a disposable camera.
What did you wear for real?
Oh, I think I cared so little about. Yeah. I think I remember wearing like jeans and a black t-shirt.
Right. Tuesday sacrifice.
Yeah. And I was with my girlfriend Tegan. We were Tegan and Sarah. I mean, come on. And
your like romantic girlfriend.
My romantic girlfriend. Yeah.
I don't even, you've never even said the name Tegan to me ever.
Oh, I haven't. Well, I don't know.
Tegan.
Yeah.
I can't.
So.
I don't know why.
And at the same time that we were dating, there was a very popular girls group. You know Tegan and Sarah, right?
I've heard of it.
Yeah. And they're like big in the lesbian community. So.
Right.
Yeah. We were very Tegan, popular with
what's
that.
What's she doing now?
I have no clue because you know
I hate this about you.
No clue at all. No idea. Last I heard, she
you
was
should talk
working
to Sherry about
show.
This.
I don't keep in touch with my exes?
No, it's not keeping in touch. It's keeping tabs on. And
I don't keep
totally
tabs
different.
On my exes?
Yeah, because basically, like,
honestly,
once...
Susan, I think it's that I forget. What were you going to say? Honestly, once what?
Well, I was thinking is like once you decide somebody's like not for you, that it's like they don't exist. It's like
I think that's
fair.
The
third dead body.
You're right. But here's why. Because I think that I give mental energy to the people that I am close with.
Yes.
And I have very limited mental energy.
Mm.
And so
you're tapped out.
If there is somebody that I realize is essentially going to be like a waste of mental energy to think about and dwell on. And
it's not worth it.
It would cost me too much to like of my own energy and mm-hmm. like emotional reserve to do that. So I save that for people who are actually parts of my life still.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like I think I just forget.
Well, okay. After this wine and after just all these breakups, I think all of us are going to need a little liquid IV.
Definitely.
We're going to need to rehydrate.
Listen,
get back on track.
I had to have like four of those after my dance class. I'm not. You think I'm. You're laughing like you think I'm making a joke.
No, I thought you were going to say after your flight or something.
No. No, Susie. After 60 minutes of whipping and nae-naing.
Stop. I can't take it.
I need it.
I'm dying. Okay. All right. Hold on. My apologies to Liquid IV for not being a professional right now. Oh, gosh. Okay. If you would like to hydrate. Okay, because here's the deal. It's a powder and you pour it in.
I'm not doing anything now. I am being very serious.
Okay. Got this. Oh, you people are going to need to use this code because otherwise Liquid IV is going to be like, that's it. We have had it. And if you're going to Coachella, this would be great for festival
for real.
Experience.
Yes.
Beach days, mountain adventures, whatever. Just recording with Sarah. You pour it into your water. It hydrates you. You get all those electrolytes and vitamins. Sarah, you are so funny. Okay. They have sugar-free, which I love. White peach, lemon lime. You could even make it into a cocktail or mocktail. Yes. Turn your ordinary water into an extraordinary hydration. With Liquid IV, get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code CANDY at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code CANDY at liquidiv.com. If people fast forward through the ads, that's what they will miss.
That is. I was just thinking of like, we are about halfway through our episode. This is all candy. I have given you zero factual information. The only thing you know is that I've seen more than one dead body.
We've learned nothing.
Yeah, and maybe don't do drugs.
Right.
Or do. Well, I still don't fucking know. Do whatever you want.
No,
but
don't do it.
Okay. Let's talk about some things that I did see in the news that I want to share with you. Okay. First and foremost, did you see those two motherfucking asshole idiot cavemen destroying the rocks in Lake
Mead? That was sent to us from a brain candy brainiac, and I was so mad.
What? Can you help me understand what?
No. Like, because it's just like testosterone caveman thinking, and women cannot relate.
And the fact that there's a little girl screaming like, don't, she's like, don't get, it looks like, and they struggle for so long to push these rocks over where it almost looks like this isn't just one guy picking up a rock and being like, oh, I wonder if I could push it over. And then it falls over. It's like somebody hired them to push this rock over
they
made it
the
their
purpose mission.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what on earth would drive somebody to continue to do that? Despite everybody yelling at
you
to stop.
Yeah, what do they get out of it?
That's what I can't understand.
Yeah.
I can't, I, you know, what is this? Is this testosterone? Is this drip? Because a few episodes ago when we talked about sticks and I was like, that's insane. That's crazy. Then I went for a little walk and then I found a cool stick and I was like, okay, I get this now. I'm on board with the stick people. This, I am never going to be like, oh yeah, throwing a rock off a cliff. That was really fun. Especially as somebody who rock climbs, you don't know what's below you in a lot of those areas.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what trails are like switchbacks that go right under there or what might be like a face somebody's climbing on. Fuck you. This guy, that to me, life in jail.
Yeah.
I'm like not kidding.
Yeah, because it's senseless.
Yeah.
I don't know what they get out of it. I don't know what the point is. I'm so tired. Just being a woman is so tiring that I cannot imagine expelling energy, destroying national monuments and anything.
The National Park Service is really taking a tough stance on this and is doing everything they can to identify these people. And they're calling it an act of cultural violence. Because
mm-hmm.
it is. And it honestly, is. It made me cry.
Environmental violence.
Tearing up and like getting emotional about it now. Because I'm like, why would you do that to those places? Those dunes and that formation is estimated to be around 140 million years old. And just like that, this motherfucker pushes it down. For what? I'm mad.
Do you think, like, because I do try to figure out human behavior. This is what pretty much everything I talk about is about that. I want to understand what makes people do what they do. And is your sense that they must be, like, sad inside or angry? Their dad
maybe?
Left? And, like, what happened to you?
And then to, like, do it in front of your kid mm-hmm. and just think, like I need to keep going even when it's about to push you off the cliff.
It's bizarre.
It seems like such strange behavior. I just can't, because other things I'm thinking of, you know, when I was on the challenge, I was just talking about this at the Challenge Mania meetup, but I voted somebody in because they called themselves a litter bug. They were just like, oh, I litter. That's what I do. Oh, I just litter. It's like what I do. Mm-hmm. And even though that's fucked up and I hate it, I can see the inconvenience of not having a place to dispose of your trash.
You're lazy. I get it.
That's laziness. This took effort. This is not that.
This is not lazy.
This is not lazy. This mm-hmm. is something else. This is destructive. And to me, that says maximum anger. Sentence.
Yeah, like they're mad or upset about life. And that's what's weird is because, like, if you're like a white, straight, cis man, what are you so mad about?
Are you so?
It doesn't get much better.
It really. Oh, God. Anyways, that's what I hope. I just really hope they find those guys. I really hope that they punish them to the full extent of the law. Right. How hard can they be? I hope that daughter turns them in. Yeah. Okay, what else do I have here? This is just kind of a funny one for you. Okay. There is a men's health. This is very man-centric, this episode.
Yeah, ew.
I didn't mean for that to be. Sorry, apologies. There is, but now we're going to laugh at them a little bit, sort of. I don't know. We'll see. There's a men's health website called like Fella Health or something like that. And it's like healthcare geared towards men. And it's they funny. It's are a play heavy on advertising men to start using Ozempic.
Okay.
But they're calling it Brozempic.
Okay.
It's so stupid. And it's just so interesting to see. So I went to the website and I looked at it. And it is very interesting to see the same product get advertised to men. And the way that the language that they use, so much
of what's their approach?
It's much more like take charge of your life, kind of like.
Take the bull by its horns.
Yeah, like that. Like, this is for big guys. Like, you want to be, like that. Like, they're talking. Whereas I feel like when it's geared towards women, there's a lot of shame, a lot of guilt. Yeah, be the person
be invisible.
You want. Yeah. And it was just interesting to see the difference and how that felt.
Mm-hmm.
And one felt like something that you were doing versus something that was like happening to you as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, one's like passive and one's aggressive.
That's it. Yeah. That is it. One seems more passive. And even just the look, like real fella stories, like it is so. They made it look at the guy they have advertised. Like, this guy could not be like that to me looks like the finished product. I'm like,
oh my gosh, that's the before.
That's who they're.
That beefcake need not do one thing.
That's what I'm saying is even the people that they're using to sell this are these like, it almost,
he does not need to do anything.
I know.
He can rescue me from a burning building.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Sus, like, this is different than. And they call it medication weight loss for bigger guys. Even
bigger
that
guys.
Language is so different.
The women's one's like, lose weight, you fat ass.
Yeah. You'll never find love.
Yeah.
Oh.
Your mom was right. You are worthless.
Oh, my God. It's so bad. But I just can't imagine. I'm all about people finding something that works for them, and I think that it is so wonderful and great that you could like do something to take hold of your health. But do you remember when Ally was really big?
Yeah.
So Ally was a medication that you can take that would separate the fat, like the saturated fats or certain kind of set of fats from your diet, from your digestive system, like wouldn't allow you to absorb that or something. Mm-hmm. And then when you went to the bathroom, you would.
What? I didn't know about that part.
Oh, if you ate anything
maybe
greasy.
I should go on that. That sounds great for
me. Oh my God. If you ate anything greasy, it would come out like orange grease out of your ass.
Shut up.
I'm talking like you can't even control it. It's like dripping out of there because it's oil. It's like just moving through
your
system.
You have like a leaky bowel.
You got a leaky and
oh,
yep.
Lord.
You go to the bathroom. And I'm saying this as somebody who tried it, who
you
definitely
did?
Used it. Uh-huh.
And you saw that come out?
Oh,
of you?
Yeah.
Holy
oh,
heck.
Yeah.
How long did you use it?
Oh, probably just a month. Well, maybe
did you
one
lose
bottle.
Any weight?
I would say any weight that I did lose was more from a change in lifestyle. It was a time when I remember I moved to San Francisco. I started running. I started like...
You and Tegan just...
Exactly.
Going to festivals.
That's exactly it. 100%. I was like...
Right.
Okay, I gotta... These ladies want somebody active. Hang on.
But that's the claim, though, that this fat is just going to come out your beehole and then... Supposedly, people will lose weight.
Yeah, like you don't absorb the fat.
Seems like Ozempic's a real upgrade.
Then. Yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, I'm all about things like that. Obviously, I tried that before, you know. But it just makes... I wonder what... Do we have any research on what happens 20, 30 years after using it?
Of Ozempic?
Yeah.
Oh, Ally.
No, Ozempic.
No. There's no way to know that.
Right. Because it's brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay. I just think that this is going to be interesting. We're all doing like a little experiment.
Yeah. I mean, that's true of so many things. I'm reading Empire of Pain, which is about the Sackler family who own Purdue, which makes, you know, opioids.
Yes.
And like... It's a great book. It's so detailed and it's fascinating history of the family, but also of medicine. And I mean, there are so many wonderful things about excellent painkillers.
Yeah.
I mean, the way that they've been able to help cancer patients and all kinds of things are fantastic about these scientific discoveries. But of course, with anything like that, there's... Like the flip side or, you know, side effects.
Yeah, and just like pain medication, if you take it when you need it, it works.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take it when you don't need it, you could have some problems.
Like I've said, I think it was on Things We Got Wrong. I said, I'm really excited about the potential of the Ozempic treatment, using Ozempic to treat addiction.
Yeah.
Because it isn't just food. It changes the way your reward center works. And
that's so interesting.
People that were addicted to alcohol and drugs are finding that they don't even want it anymore. That is wonderful.
Yeah.
I am so hopeful about all of that. But it is like mystery.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't know all the details, but that's promising.
Yeah, that is. I hope they can find the mechanism that like what it is about that. You know, like that's how things start. We start to, you know, fine tune and hone in on the drugs. And
you seem like concerned though.
Yeah. I feel I just have a weird feeling that there's going to be like, I don't know, like stomach issues. Like you have ulcers or something, something like down the line. But I guess it's like anything there. Mm-hmm. It's a, what do you call it? Harm reduction and cost of living or like quality of life or whatever, which is, you know, I'll take a stomach ache if it means that I get to be active and play with my kids, you know?
I think that a lot of the ick that people may feel is because of the class problem.
Yes, that is a lot of it.
For rich people.
Yes, it is.
So
that's what I don't like.
Could actually benefit in a meaningful way. right. are often excluded from its right. use.
That's it. That's kind of what I meant about people who are in pain taking it versus not. Like mm-hmm. if there is some definite, but
like some celebrity
Post Malone.
Who's like, right. Like,
fuck off.
That's what I mean. Like these celebrities that like, are already in the normal range.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Kylie mm-hmm. Jenner or whatever. Really?
Yeah. But then that's the people that could actually extend their life don't have access to it because right. of it. It's like cost prohibitive. That's probably more of like what makes you feel like.
I think that is it.
Yeah, I get that.
I think that is it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Do you want to hear about the guy who stole all of the thing that I was going to talk about from the last episode? About the
yeah, but more than that, I want to hear about how much you love Honey Love.
Well, I think my entire trip to Pittsburgh was sponsored by Honey Love.
I love this stuff. And I want people to know that if they are in the market for mm-hmm. any kind of shapewear, leggings, bra.
Oh, I really want to try that dress.
I feel the same way.
Because there's like, no way that that's not going to look fantastic on everybody.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And it's like one of those dresses that you keep forever because it's what you wear to everything because it's a little black dress.
Yep.
Yeah, their products are super high quality, super comfortable, super flattering. They have something for everyone, but they have the crossover bra. They have the V bra. It's like casual, everything that you could want. Treat yourself to the best bras in the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/braincandy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/braincandy. After you purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show. Tell them we sent you. Honeys, you deserve this. Love, yes. Honey Love.
Okay, so...
Yes, tell me your story.
This, I, you know, in true Sarah fashion, got it a little mixed up because he didn't steal fishing lures. It was the largest theft
Set it up again.
Okay. So, Susie was talking...
the art heist.
Susie was talking... Yes, was talking about fishing lure or fly fishing. And I'm like, oh, have you heard about this heist, this theft of what I had said was like fishing
lures.
The
biggest of all time, that was, she said.
Yeah.
Art heist.
It wasn't... It was the most that was ever stolen from a natural history museum. Okay. Because it was not from a museum. What right. he did is he broke into the British National History Museum and stole feathers of exotic birds.
To make fly
yes.
fishing. Oh, my
because
gosh.
Because the feathers are... He was obsessed.
Why would you do that?
Because he was obsessed with Victorian salmon fly tying. He became like obsessed with it, and they are really beautiful. These ties look like this.
You're like, he has a good point.
I mean, that is pretty.
It's pretty.
It's nice, and that was a classic fly.
What did you call it?
Victorian salmon fly tying.
Okay.
Yes, it is. They call it a passion for beauty merged with sport accessory. Hooks that are elaborately decorated with brilliantly colored feathers, bits of fur, and specialty threads. And so the more brightly colored and the more elaborate they are, the more interested the salmon are. And so he became obsessed with making things. And he...
Get it from a parakeet, though, or something.
Well,
you know what I mean?
He was like... I think he became a little obsessed with having the exotic, like there. It seems like there is a, I don't know, this very like niche subculture of like these people who are obsessed with Victorian salmon fly tying, who are because a lot of the things that they use to tie them are off of exotic or extinct birds. And then I think like having the more unique ones, there's like a whole black market
you get like
to this
clout.
Yes, exactly. So there was a book that was written by Kirk Wallace Johnson. I think it came out in 2009, something like that. It says it reads like a thriller, but it contains tons of research and dozens of interviews, and it's all a true story. And it's called The Feather Thief, if anybody's interested. But it's all about how he, like, and it's, the whole story is crazy. They turned it into a whole book. It says that it's an adrenaline-fueled heist story filled with weird twists, macabre motivations, and crazy courtroom antics. And the truth is stranger than fiction.
You tell me that's a true story?
Yes.
Feather Thief. I got to put that on my Goodreads.
Yes. Oh, let's read it.
I mean, that sounds really interesting.
Yes. And he stole. And one of the craziest parts about it was that when the security guards came, so the security guard comes and sees, like, he's doing, like, his nightly rounds. And also the guy was, like, a famous musician, like, practicing music. He, like, played with, like, the National Orchestra or whatever. So he, like, leaves an orchestra performance and then goes in the middle of the night and...
Where did you hear about this?
I think my brother told me about just the details of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had talked about how I wanted to do fly fishing or, like, you know. And then he's like, I bet you would be really interested in the tying of them and get really into, like, the art of that. And then was like, oh, let me tell you the story. So, because they are really beautiful and that you can make them look like different things. And there's a woman I follow who just does beautiful photographs of the fly.
What happened to this guy, though?
He ended up, I don't know what the summaries that I read. I don't know what happened to him in the end, because the summaries that I read didn't have, like, the final.
I can't believe he's stealing, like, it from museums. I mean, that is stupid.
Yeah. The case went to court. Oh, yeah, that was it. Irwin's lawyer claimed he was a victim of Asperger's disease, which now is dated. We don't use
obviously.
That.
Obviously.
And right. And he was released and did not have to serve any jail time for his crime. Yep. I knew there was a part. I'm like, Annie's on the spectrum, and I don't know why that matters, but it does. And so
I'm
that
sick
last
of them,
episode,
by the
I was
way, changing things' names.
No, don't. We're not calling it Asperger's because.
Because what?
Because that was named after a man who is a Nazi. Like, used humans as experiments. Asperger is a person, and so, like, he's very problematic and a horrible human being
who, yeah, like, but experiments until they people. Changed it, nobody knew that.
Right. True.
Literally the only time that came up was when they're like, we're changing it, everyone.
Right.
But I mean, they do this about everything.
Yeah, but if they called something like a hysterectomy Hitler's disease, I would be like, can we please change the name of that?
I get it. I'm you know? Fine with
I'd like,
changing
I'd like
this.
To not be like, oh, I got Hitler's disease. Oh, the old Hitler disease. No, I'd be like, fucking change the name.
No, I agree with you, but I wouldn't be worked up if they didn't change everything all the time.
Yeah. Well, everybody needs to stop being fucking problematic.
Yeah, but that's never going
to
happen. So
right.
So
we need to stop naming things after people.
Yeah, but also because a lot of the things they're changing now, it's because, like, they'll be like, we can't call it that anymore because that is stigmatized.
Oh, I see.
Okay,
yeah,
but then the new name is going to be...
Right, stigmatized as well. Right. This isn't that. This is just he
was
a fucker.
You're chasing the wind.
Yeah.
Because people are assholes.
Yeah. Yeah.
They push rocks off cliffs for no reason.
This episode could be... titled Boys Behaving Badly. There you go. Yeah.
Boys yes. Behaving.
This is exactly what this is.
I'm sick of it.
Yeah. So he caught, he.
It's not just Asperger, it's all of them.
Hundreds and thousands, over $1 million worth of these, like, rare exotic birds and feathers. And the crazy part is that when the security guard walks by and sees the glass on the ground, like the broken glass from, like, the light above, and is like, somebody broke in here.
They came in the ceiling?
Yeah, he came in through, like, a...
Mission
and, like,
Impossible.
Used a glass cutter and everything, which then he said was
impressive.
Much harder.
But also, I don't think he really had to do that.
No, he probably didn't. He could have just walked in there. And then... So they, of course, know somebody's broken in. So they go and they look at all of the expensive things. They look at all the things of value. They have a book that's like one of the rarest books that's worth like right. $11.5 million that's on birds, of like untouched. Rare birds. Untouched. So they're like,
Andy's an idiot.
Who's this fool? Like, mm-hmm. they didn't even take anything. Whatever. And it wasn't until there was a fly fishing show where somebody noticed feathers that were like, how do you get these? And they had put out like, a, if you see something, say something kind of statement. And then somebody reported that and they found him through that. Cause like, wait, he's
listen,
not, he almost you know got what? Braggy. He's like, I got to show off these amazing ties that I made. And I think they sell for a lot of money. So he used those feathers to turn it in. And,
I got
to
tell
and
you.
They let him go. That was the ending that I did.
They should let him go. You know why? Because if you don't even notice.
Right.
After glass is cut in your ceiling.
Right.
And somebody you didn't really Mission Impossible'd into your museum and took the feathers and you can't figure out what he stole. I don't think you appreciated those feathers.
That's what he thought. And he had gone to visit. He saw the feathers. Like he had gotten some sort of pass or permit or something from the museum and was shown, like, because he wanted to see them, like, for research purposes or whatever.
He so had he gotten saw a special tour.
Yeah, he was that guy. He got a special tour of the feathers, and he's like, oh, you guys keep these in this dusty, dingy. I'm basically free.
These are really nice feathers you have here. Be ashamed if something happened to them. He probably said that, and they still that's were great. Like, who could have done it?
Would be a shame if something happened to him. Oh, Susie, that's a good joke. You are good today.
It's the Naked Wines, I guess. Must I be. Don't know what happened.
Yeah. So
it was, no, it was your hip-hop class Liquid IV story.
It's just like, I'm just reporting the facts, not even a story. So, hilarious. Okay. Okay, what else do I have to tell you? Oh, we have to wrap it up. Okay.
What else can I do? I can't think.
I've lost her. This is good. This is the best. This is just how I like her. If I can get Susie silent laughing, then I have succeeded.
Stop.
And this is why people should watch the YouTube videos.
Yes,
of this.
These are up now
if
on
you guys
YouTube free.
Did not know.
You can subscribe to our channel.
Subscribe to
if
our channel.
If you want the video version.
Like and subscribe. Did I look like a little influencer when I did that?
Okay, so what we learned today is that Dimitri Martin is on thin ice.
Thin ice, buddy.
And
also look for me in the next Netflix also, special.
Yeah, right.
Listen for my laugh.
Right, and it is loud. Comedy
yes!
Club Sarah is...
Susie, all of these thoughts were going through my head. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. Now people are going to think that I'm laughing like this because I want to be on camera.
That's why you should
be paid. When really, the last thing I want to do is be on camera. Like, come on. Okay,
I know.
Anyways.
You should get money for that. Yeah. Sarah saw dead bodies.
Yeah.
And she has an ex named Tegan. If you're out there, Tegan, just want to know what you're up to.
I should find her.
Just curious. How long did you date her?
2 years. We lived together. Yeah.
2 years, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Men suck. The end.
Yeah. Don't push rocks
off. Good
job.
I love
end.
All these stories.
Oh, good. I didn't even get to some of the other ones, but we'll save those for next
You're
time.
Like, I wasn't even done.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, thanks, guys.
Bye,
use our
everybody.
Codes. Subscribe.
Please
tell
use
friend.
Them. My God, they're going to cancel after all this. Okay? What? Everybody, please use the codes. We love you. Bye.
Bye.